going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every hue from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes. which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Happy draft to all who celebrate and observe this very, very fun religion that we've all decided to follow. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray and Drew Perloff. Pearl, you've said this is one of your top two favorite days of the year. And I'm curious if this is going to turn into a great day for Shador Sanders. Is this going to be the day he remembers as my pre-draft stuff got a little wonky, got a little weird. People fell in love with me, then out of love with me the more they studied my film. And do I end up persevering through that because teams need quarterbacks so much? Or this sort of very late in the process, cliff, slide, drop, yeah, whatever you want to call it, is that what we're going to remember this draft for?
Yeah, no, this is the Shador Sanders draft. There's no doubt about it. It seems like 1, 2, 3, for example, are totally set. Everyone knows Cam Ward, the quarterback out of Miami, will go number one in Tennessee. So there's no drama on that front. That's been set. So what else are people going to focus on? It's got to be the next quarterback and Shador Sanders. Now, to be fair, there are a lot of draft experts who did not have him ranked highly coming into this thing.
That is true.
Yeah, it was basically like he's the second best quarterback, but it's not a great quarterback class.
Right.
Because of that formula.
Always had the caveat.
Yeah, they always had the caveat. Because of that formula, you could almost see him going anywhere. We were joking yesterday, he could go from number 3 to the Giants to number 57 to whoever. There's such a wide range of outcomes. But there's a lot of negatives working against him. I mean, there's a lot.
Right.
Let's talk about the fact that he's not huge. So immediately you have to be perfect as a prospect if you're not going to be big. His dad is Deion Sanders. I do not think
that's... You think that's number two? You don't think that's further down on
two.
The list?
I think it's absolutely number two.
Okay.
Imagine, okay.
Well, you're telling, he can't help that, you know.
I know he can't help that. But
not his fault.
You're a coach. You're bad enough to need a quarterback. You are going to draft a kid whose father is a very successful college coach who has said, I will only go to the NFL to coach my son. You do not want Deion Sanders hanging around. I think that there are a lot of GMs and coaches who think, well, Deion's going to come in here and clean house in 2 years because he wants to coach his son. He's always coached his son. He's followed him around. They followed each other. I think that's a huge factor, and I just think Deion is such a huge force that he adds pressure. If you're on the fence about right. Shador, then why would you bring that into the building?
Okay, but you know what? I know there's a lot of reasons why teams pass on certain guys and take certain guys. It's not a perfect science, and boy, do we know that. But that makes the whole draft seem a little fugazi, does it not? Like, think about it. I know that Shador's not a perfect prospect. If he was a perfect prospect, teams will be lining up, whether his dad's Shador or whether his dad is Joe Smith. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And not the Joe Smith that went to Maryland. You know what
Maryland
I'm talking
star?
About? not Maryland star Joe Smith. Joe Schmo, put it that way. But it kind of feels to me like that's such a weak reason. Now, I understand that people are trying to save their jobs. I get it. That's probably the number one thing. If you're the Cleveland Browns front office, if you are the Giants front office, if there are these things that have been mandated, dictated, oh, you work for an owner that's a little bit, you know, unpredictable. Say you work in Indianapolis. I don't know, whatever these wild card owners are. But like, to me, that's weak sauce. Because I think we would denigrate a draft prospect if, let's say, there was like a high profile, you know, person in front of them and they didn't want to even compete. You know, like say the roles were reversed and Shador, you know, and you had to sit behind a quarterback because they had, you know, a famous last name. You didn't even want to compete with them. I think we would call that out as a character flaw of the player. Why wouldn't we call that out as a flaw of the front office? Why wouldn't we call that out as a flaw of the coach? If you really think Deion-ness of this is actually that big of a deal, that means you have weak head coaches and you have weak front offices anyway. And you know what? You're bound to get fired no matter what because you're not cut out for this.
Well, the thing is, you're looking at a bunch of prospects who are about equal. That's the issue. You're looking for anything. What's the difference between Shador Sanders and the number 3 tackle in the class? There's nothing. We were talking about a razor's edge in this draft. So I think you're weighing factors. I'm sure they're looking at Shador. They're like, we could take Shador Sanders or we could take this other need and it's about the same. That's the point. If Shador Sanders was way better than these other prospects, then you're right. We wouldn't be having this debate. But they're looking for, we're in the margins here. We're looking at the tiny details and that's a detail.
If only it were that simple. Because you're saying an offensive lineman and a quarterback are same in a talent evaluation. It's just not true.
Well, yeah, baby, the quarterback.
Yeah, but the quarterback's the most important position, so it's like weighted. It's like weighted on a scale. So they're not. It's not apples to apples.
I mean, if you had Shedeur Sanders as far as quarterback prospect versus a left. I mean, obviously the left tackle is a much better prospect. So the quarterbackness of Shedeur moves him way up. So even with the quarterbackness, he's about an equal prospect with, say, the number 7 pick or something.
Yes. Okay.
So I'm saying at the end of the day, let's take Pittsburgh at 21. Pittsburgh has a ton of needs. They think Shedeur is good, not great, but they might have a wide receiver or a lineman or somebody who they have great, not good. Then you're going to say, well, all things are equal. Do I want Shedeur in the building? And Pittsburgh is a team that can afford that because they have a veteran coach in Mike Tomlin, sure, been there forever. So I do think the situation matters. But look at Kellen Moore in New Orleans. He's trying to reboot this franchise. Does he really? I mean, I hear what you're saying. Maybe it is weak sauce, but it's also reality. Does Kellen Moore really want Deion Sanders hanging out in New Orleans and all this, his celebrity friends that he had at Colorado coming to watch those games? He wants to quietly rebuild this team from the ashes in New Orleans.
This is Kellen Moore's actually very concerned about Warren Sapp just like showing up at the office. Is that
well,
what you're
no,
saying?
I mean, he's going to have
now assistant coach at Colorado and Marshall Faulk.
Well, he does not want Kevin Hart and Will Smith and The Rock on the sideline when they are losing 42-26 to Atlanta. I just think that this is not...
Wait, what was that crew you put together? Kevin Hart, Will Smith, and Chris Rock? I don't think Will Smith and Chris Rock are hanging out.
No, The Rock.
The Rock.
Who was it? Colorado?
Yeah, you're right. The Rock.
The Rock.
Was Will Smith never Colorado? Did I make that part up?
I don't remember Will Smith. But
Kevin Hart was there too, I think.
Will Smith's the only one I actually fear because of what he did to Chris Rock at the Oscars. Smack you across the face.
It was definitely Kevin Hart was there too. So Colorado, I mean, listen.
Lil Wayne was there too.
Well, Lil Wayne, yeah, but Lil Wayne has actually got, now he's going another direction. He's Mr. No, but he's following Travis Hunter around. He might even root for the Browns next year. So there's a battle over Lil Wayne's heart. I've been hearing that's out there for NFL fans. But generally, you're going to have a lot of attention in New Orleans. I just think, I mean, come on. I understand what you're saying. It's a good point. It's a weak sauce to not be confident. But the reality of the situation for Kellen Moore, this first-time coach who looks like he's 12 years old in New Orleans, that's a lot to bring in for a quarterback who is marginally better, probably not as talented as Derek Carr. Derek Carr just can't stay healthy.
Right.
Like, you're going to bring all that in to be average.
Well, I mean, I got a news flash here for Kellen Moore, not to sound like, middle school teacher here, but news flash. There's a good chance that he was probably hired to be fired anyway, because I'm just saying a lot of coaches don't last that long. You know, I think the average lifespan of a coach right now is like 3 years. And I'll tell you what, I'd rather have the buzz and excitement and, you know, clean slate, blank slate of a Shedeur than I have Spencer Rattler, who I'm probably going to get judged. Just let's say Derek Carr's shoulder is so hurt. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to get judged on that. And if I can't make him good, then all of a sudden now I'm, you know, bottom of the draft again. And I'm like, am I on the hot seat?
Well, yeah, that's a great, I mean, right. Are you sort of tanking? Are you quietly tanking? And if you're a first year coach, can you really tank without getting fired? I'll bet you he can. I bet, you know, listen, that's the other thing. One more thing about this draft is this is not about the 2025 class. It's also about the 2026 class.
Next year.
So if you're New Orleans, that's killing Shedeur. I think a lot of people are looking, why is Shedeur falling? People are saying, well, we got these big names, Cade Klubnik, Drew Aller, I don't know. These big names. Yeah, it's an opportunity. If you take Shedeur now, that means you might not have a chance to take a quarterback next year.
Right.
So it's every situation is unique, but that's what I'm saying. There's a lot working against Shedeur. It's not just how do I view him as a prospect.
Garrett Nussmeier, whose dad works for the New Orleans Saints right now. Doug Nussmeier, who we all remember. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Do you think that Shedeur, how big is the Deion effect? Here we are.
Yep.
Draft's here. This is all happening tonight. How big is the Deion effect? Because I'm starting to think it's actually a smaller slice of the pie than people think, right?
Okay.
Like, because I think you've had to get comfortable with this.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's the thing also about Deion, and this is taking it in a totally different tentacle, and I do want to play this Todd McShay sound because he's got good stuff here. You know, Deion has said he wants to coach his son in the NFL, but you know what? The Dallas Cowboys had a chance for Deion, and they said no for Brian Schottenheimer, and maybe that's Jerry's MO. But there could have been other teams who were interested in Deion. He's a known commodity and a known factor.
Yep.
I'm not actually even sure if Deion's a great X's and O's coach, which I think you have to be in the NFL when the margins are very, very slim.
Well, you don't think Deion Sanders is sitting there? Good. Of course he's not a great X's and O's coach.
Right. So
he brought in 17 former NFL coordinators. What do you think they were doing? He'll hire guys to do the X's and O's.
So here's the thing, though. But yeah, you can farm out a lot in the NFL, too. Yeah. I get that. But, and you rely on your coordinators. Hell, your Philadelphia Eagles, I think, are relying on quite a bit. No disrespect, Nick Sirianni, Super Bowl winning head coach.
There are vibes, guys, Meg.
There are vibes, guys. There are leaders of men. There are all that stuff. Yeah. But, you know, when push comes to shove, I don't know how many NFL teams are actually going to be knocking down the door for Deion. You know,
ooh, you don't think if Shador maybe not now, but you don't think that somebody would take a flight? You could be right, because they're not even going after Belichick. But I kind of disagree. I think that Deion, if he has another good year at Colorado, watch out.
All right. I feel like I watched some of the end of those Colorado games, and some of them, you know, they're pulling out miraculously, and some, you know, didn't go their way. I'm like, man, this clock management and stuff like that, it's like, that should be kind of easier, air quotes, on the college level for coaches. It gets much harder at the NFL level.
Yeah, but I mean, Andy Reid's still the worst clock manager in the NFL. And he's Andy Reid's about to set the all-time win record.
Yeah, but Shador's not Patrick Mahomes.
You know, one thing, by the way, that's a big if. Can Deion have another good year at Colorado? Because he's losing Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter. So I think he could prove, if he did go very well, I think it's dependent on how he does. But yeah, I understand your point.
So how big is the Deion factor, I think, is the question today. So actually, first, can I hear from Jonathan Jones? Let's go to one insider, then we'll go to the next insider. We got lots of insiders weighing in. Jonathan Jones, love him, friend of the show, worked with him at SI, salt of the earth dude, said the scouting breakdown is weighing more than any character issues that have to do with Sand. By character, I think we mean Deion, like the fame aspect, not red flags character.
All those things start to add up a little bit before you even get to any sort of interviews and how he made me feel at a combine interview or at a pro day or how he carries himself, whatever you want to say about that.
Okay. So it's more about that. Let's hear more from Jonathan. Can I get cut too, Manny? Jonathan Jones breaks down why most teams actually have a second round grade on Shador.
More teams than not that I speak to tell me that they have a second round grade on Shador Sanders. Why? Well, he has an average relatively arm. He has average, relatively athleticism. You're talking about getting drafted in the first or second day of the NFL draft. You are an incredible athlete. You compare it to your dad, or you compare it to other fantastic quarterbacks in this draft, it's average. You consider his completion percentage, very high, very accurate. Now break it down and see how many of those throws were at or behind the line of scrimmage. All of these things start to, and you had the Heisman Trophy winner that you were throwing to.
Yeah, I think Jonathan is actually making really good points here. I think if you keep it about the football, you know, listen, this is what the draft process is about in a lot of ways. You're actually finding reasons not to draft a guy than finding reasons to draft them, right? That's a mentality. It's not because you're denigrating the person. You're like, all right, let's say I'm like this. I'm a worst case scenario person. You guys know this. Perloff's oddly the doomsday prepper, and I'm not. But I'm a glass half empty person sometimes. I'm always thinking, okay, if everything goes wrong, what do I do? That's always like my default. And I think if I was an NFL GM, in fact, I know I would operate this way. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, all right, how do we get past the average arm strength? Can we overcome, you know, all the throws that were at or behind the line of scrimmage? So I kind of get where Jonathan's talking about from a football aspect.
I don't buy it for half a second. There's no way. I watched Shador Sanders play. He was flinging it all over the yard. I mean, he was awesome in Colorado. So I haven't understood this. I mean, our good buddy NFL's Lance Erline said the same thing. A lot of really smart NFL analysts and kind of scout types say this, but get out of here. Watch a Colorado game. There's no way you could say that he had average arm strength. Like, he was ripping it all over the field. So that doesn't make any sense to me. I still don't understand this. And it's consistent. It's not just Jonathan.
Yeah.
That he doesn't have elite skills. I'm not sure I just don't understand. Maybe it's because they were against weak competition, but I saw him be a great college football quarterback. And listen, I thought Kenny Pickett was a great college football quarterback too, so what do I know? But he was clearly wildly successful in college, so it's hard for me to put the two together.
Yeah, I thought I saw that too. I'm not going to lie. Right, like, I mean, I thought we were going through this whole thing, and it was like, yeah, Shador's the second best quarterback in the draft. It's like, well, maybe is he even one? Okay, probably not one. Cam Ward has the traits and, you know, bigger and the arm angles and all that athleticism and whatever.
I do understand what he said. One thing, a football, Travis Hunter made up for a lot of this. That could be, that's like when you have a great quarterback, is it the receiver, the quarterback?
Yeah, but you know, it hasn't stopped Alabama and Ohio State quarterbacks from getting drafted really high.
Joe Burrow was throwing to Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. So, yeah, I understand. Listen, Jonathan knows way more about what's going on. I'm sure that that scouting report is accurate, but I don't totally understand it because we saw a lot of success at Colorado. It's hard as a, you know, it's hard to reconcile that. I feel like there's more going on than just the talent.
Okay, well, I'm glad you said that because let's get to Todd McShay. So Todd McShay is working for the Ringer now, but you know, you remember him and Mel Kiper always
Todd
always going at it. I'm excited for a little Kiper tonight.
Todd.
I love Kiper in like that this small dose of this one weekend. You know,
the best.
Okay, let's hear. Can I hear cut five, please? First, so Todd McShay saying that the Shador Sanders interview with the New York Giants apparently did not go well.
Shador Sanders is a good young man. Shador Sanders has always been respectful and everything else. Some interviews didn't go well, including with the New York Giants, I'm told now.
Okay, just a little for context. It turns out, and I've been hearing this lately, that McShay and Brian Daboll apparently go back pretty far. So you'd have to expect, unless Daboll's using him to try to get this out as a smokescreen, you have to imagine that the intel's pretty good. More from McShay about certain comments that Dion made about Eli Manning may have hurt Shador Sanders.
Coach Prime came out and said it himself. I'm gonna handpick, you know, the places that my son can go play for. Well, what happens when you got a small? It's not a small pool, but it's not as big as 32 teams, and only so many teams need quarterbacks. And it just so happened that a bunch did in that top 10, six. But after the, you know, throughout the process, after the combine, some of the meetings didn't go well. I told you I talked to two executives, didn't go well. So now the pool shrinks, and now I'm here to tell you that it didn't go well with Brian Daboll, and it didn't go well with the Giants organization.
Okay, can we see hear more from that about and then pulling in Eli, the Eli comments? I want to hear that one, please, Manny. Go ahead. That was it? Okay. Was like, it really pulling in Eli?
He says that he said, you know, we're not going to go to all the teams.
Okay. I thought he actually says it to pulling in Eli. I mean,
also, that was Deion Sanders' quote. Remember, he said, we're going to pull Eli.
Also, remember, there was the Lewis Riddick, the ESPN analyst who's friends with Deion, said that it behooved Shador to fall past certain spots in the draft and to go to a better team later on. So there was this idea that Deion and the Shador Sanders camp want to steer him away from some of those bad teams. I thought that might be Cleveland, for example. But yeah, so there is the idea that I was actually thinking, well, maybe Shador threw an interview or two.
You did say that right after the combine.
I didn't come up with that. That was the Riddick really said that. Linda, yeah. By the way, all these negative reports about these interviews, is it possible that Shador doesn't want to go to certain teams?
Well, that's possible, but I think that like things done change, you know, because at the beginning of this draft process, it kind of felt like, well, you know, after Cam Ward, maybe the world's your oyster here and you're going to have teams sort of lining up. And then it slowly became the more reality, like, oh, maybe they don't love me. So that could have, if that is indeed true, say he tanked some interviews, which I don't believe, but let's say he did.
Mm.
Boy, that backfired.
Yeah, and then Deion had to come out and correct the. He said, like, yeah, we're totally into all these teams. And he said it in a pointed way as if there was a perception that that wasn't true.
He specifically said, we love New York. Remember that? Yeah. When he was on stage at that conference in Chicago for like supply chain people or something not sports. We love New York. We love New York. We thought maybe it was the Jets.
I do think in the history of draft, I bet you there are players who have tanked interviews because they don't want to go to certain teams. I'll bet you that's a thing. Because I think you've been in the combine, right? It's crazy. You're so much time. Yeah, I understand you have to be confident. But I do think that you probably don't want to go to Cleveland or you probably don't want to go to a cold weather team. I think it happens. And if you're a quarterback, honestly, let's pull back for a second. Shador would be well served not to go to certain teams. It's important for him to end up with the right coach in the right situation. You could be, you know, you could go to the wrong team and you're screwed.
I
get it. Like, you know, Deion, I think, is very smart. I think he understands I want to get my son into the right situation.
Yeah, so much is up to chance now, though.
Yeah.
And to come out and say, oh, we planned it the whole time, like wherever he ends up landing, that might be stretching things a little. Last one here from McShay. Very confident the Giants and also the Saints will not take Shador.
Shador Sanders is not going to be a New York Giant. Shador Sanders is not going to be a New Orleans Saint. Okay? So let's just address that now. We said to you the week after the combine that I was surprised that other networks weren't reporting what the information that came to me so easily.
So this has been around for a while. Listen, if it's not going to be the Giants and if it's not going to be the Saints, then you're really looking at those Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Hard at 21.
Yep, and that's a lot depending on one spot.
Well, the other part, too, about Pittsburgh, let's not forget, they don't have a second-round pick right now because they traded it for DK Metcalf. Yep. So the whole idea of, oh, we could get back up into the first round if we just do swap seconds or whatever, that is probably not likely for them.
How about Cleveland? There's some, not quite reports, but opinions that maybe Cleveland trades back in for Shador or waits on Shador at 33, I believe. I haven't heard anything negative coming out about Cleveland and Shador, and they sure as heck need a quarterback, as you pointed out, from day one.
Yeah, that's true. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We get it going. How much of the Shador perceived fall do you think has to do with Deion? Like 100%?
Well,
50?
But let me ask, I have a question about, related to that, a side question that I'll save, but it's not just about Deion. It's about father and son.
Okay. Get to that. Want to hear from you. Other thing that came out last night. I love this kind of stuff when this happens on the doorstep of the draft. Someone's family member weighing in. Did someone blow their team's cover because a family member got a little anxious for a couple clicks? A little clout. Get to that next. This is so fun. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show. Come on board.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We have some NBA to break down from last night, a key injury. But I want to play a little role-playing here, Meg.
Okay.
I'm going to assign you to be a middle-aged NFL assistant coach.
Okay.
You're comfortable with this? You don't look comfortable.
I'm just thinking, do I work for the Cowboys or do I
Rams? Up through JUCO, the Mac, you know, you are just a
I'm
normal.
A grinder.
You're a grinder. Okay. You're a grinder. Absolutely.
No silver spoon in my mouth. No,
your last name is not Schottenheimer or Shanahan.
I'm a grinder. I'm a tape grinder.
Now, okay, there are two quarterback prospects come in.
Yeah.
One is a kid who was actually a basketball product in Texas who went to Incarnate Word.
Yeah.
Then transferred to the only smaller place in America, Washington State.
Yeah.
Pullman. And then had a good year in Miami. Has never really said anything that anyone remembers about anything. Very kind of quiet. The other has a gigantic podcast with massive A-list stars on it. Wears fancy jewelry, has millions and millions in the bank, is in a Gatorade commercial, and his dad is Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
Would you think that one of those might be entitled and one might not be entitled?
My question, if I'm really a grinder and I've worked my whole life to get here, while I might recognize Cam Ward's story as close to my own, I've been in this game long enough to just know who's better and who's going to keep me employed.
But there was a report that Shador Sanders came off as entitled. I know I know these people in the NFL. Yeah. Of course they thought he was entitled.
But is that real or is that their bias?
That's their bias. But guess what? There's nothing fair about the NFL draft process. Fair is not what it should be, does not make the slightest difference. NFL teams have been doing things the same way, and they have an impossible time. They're going to have so much trouble adjusting to drafting millionaires at NIL era. Okay. They are not going to know what to do. They're old school. So I think these reports about Shador Sanders are accurate in the sense that I do think a lot of NFL teams view him as entitled, and he's incredibly confident. He doesn't put up with crap.
Sure.
He's very, very charming in interviews.
By the way, like, generally things we like.
Except not NFL teams. They do not like this stuff.
So
they like the quiet, you know, just happy to be here type. That's a mistake. It never works out that way. But they generally, I do think that a lot of NFL people probably view him as entitled. It's not fair. I'm not saying it's fair.
Right.
But I get that perception.
Yeah. Instead of saying he came off as entitled, just say my perception was that he was entitled. I think that there's another thing too. You just hit on it. Coaches are going to have to adjust here to guys having some money in the bank. But, you know, as when I worked with Bart Scott, he always told me the money doesn't change you. It just makes you more of what you already are.
Right. Which is, in Shador's case, his big personality.
Well, or used to it. You know, maybe a little actually unfazed by it. I mean, the whole watch thing, that's a bit. You know, he's having fun with that. And by the way, the rest of professional sports like took that and ran with it. He's almost just like a cultural tastemaker in a way, which is also not a flaw.
Right. You could view it as confidence, which is probably the most important thing for a quarterback. You're right.
Totally. And here's the other part, too. I'm a little surprised. And I know Deion's different because he's literally coaching at high college level like FBS. But generally, throughout my life covering sports, and I think yours, too, we generally love the offspring of great players. Like, we're going to talk to Clay Matthews coming up later in the show. We're super excited about drafts in Green Bay. He's a Packers Hall of Famer. I think it helped Clay Matthews that his uncle is in the Hall of Fame and his dad maybe.
Totally disagree with this take.
I think Patrick Sertan having his dad be this famous. I think that we generally say, all right, Joey Porter and Joey Porter Jr., your dad like knows what it takes to be on a professional level. And by the way, sometimes your mom at this point, you know, like JaVale McGee. I've been watching Pam all those years. Like, you know what it takes to be a pro. And I think that's generally looked at as a positive. Yet Shador, it's a negative.
I disagree in one sense. You want the dad to be a good to above average journeyman type. You do not want him to be a superstar. And by the way, JaVale McGee, you should pull that out of that take because that's not exactly how to be a professional. JaVale McGee, the biggest knucklehead to ever come to the NBA. Well, I love JaVale McGee, probably my favorite player ever.
Was it Jalen Suggs, right? Jalen Suggs, is his mom was the, who's the mom is the coach at Notre Dame?
Jaden Ivey.
Jaden Ivey, thank you.
The best guys are, you want Joe Bryant to Kobe Bryant. You want Del Curry to Steph Curry. You don't want LeBron James to Bronny James. You don't want Michael Jordan to Michael Jordan Jr.
Well, Clay Matthews worked out pretty well, and his dad was awesome.
But he's had big stars. Like, yeah, his dad is not LeBron. So I think, I've actually thought about this formula. You want a really good, like Patrick Mahomes' dad. You want a good pro, a kind of a journeyman who's been around. It just seems to work out that way. I always wondered about, like, Steph Curry. I remember watching Del Curry. I was like, that wasn't same. I think that formula works just as well. But I hear what you're saying.
But Klay Thompson, you're like, his dad was the number one overall pick.
Oh, my God. I'm talking about LeBron. Deion. You can't compare Michael Thompson to Deion. You can't compare, who is it, Patrick Sertan's dad to Deion. Like, these are, you're like, big star. Patrick Sertan could walk, his father could walk in right now and nobody would know him. I'm just saying, Deion is a massive thing. It's different. It's like being Bronny.
I think it's generally looked at as being a positive. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476, which does speak to just how different Deion is. Bill's in Houston. Bill, what do you think? How big is the Deion factor in Shador maybe slipping in the draft?
Well, I think Shador is a blessed young man because he had a father that cared about him. However, I would think at 22 years old and a college graduate that Deion would want his son to be ready for some level of independence, and I'm afraid that's just not fair. And as an NFL team, would you have a kid that you're going to have a constant distraction from his father, but can the kid grind and can he learn an NFL system, and is he coachable? On the other hand, we're very proud of Cam Ward down where I live. He comes from where I live, and his dad's a plant worker. And he made it on his own, and he's a grinder, and he overcame not being a passing quarterback in high school. So I think he's got the right stuff. I'm all for Shador being successful in the NFL, but I very much worry about the impact of his father.
Bill, it's a really good point. Thank you for making it. But can I just want to posit something and pose something. Up until Bronny, and what we saw where Bronny got drafted in the second round and was not deserving of that spot, and we can all agree. Generally, nepotism and the nepo baby era that we're in kind of fell flat when it came to performing on the field. Coaching, no doubt. The business world, absolutely. You can have this leg up if you have a famous father or mother. But I always felt like sports was the great equalizer, almost until Bronny got here. Like, there's a thing about Shador, either he's going to sink or swim. You know, there's nothing that Deion can do when he's in the huddle and has to make a decision in 0.5 seconds before he gets his head taken off by Myles Garrett. You know, there's no one can help you there. No one can go into the boardroom and hold your hand. No one can go in the coach's room and hold your hand. Nepotism, when it comes to the athletic part of it, I always thought was different. And then obviously the Bronny, you know, kind of changed that.
But I do think you're getting into parenting issues, too. Like, people criticize parents for being too involved. Shador's never had another coach. You know, I actually had to fight the urge to be an umbrella parent and follow my kid around the playground because I was so afraid they were going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, I think at a certain point, Bill's hitting at this. Another question about Shador that no one else has is he's never had another coach. It's in a very unusual situation. That's why I'm saying there are little things that seem to be working against Shador when you put him as a quarterback at an equal evaluation. And by the way, I'm not, teams are wrong all the time. They're going to miss left and right. Sure. I'm just saying, I think this is how teams think. I'm not saying it's right. I'm sure they're screwing this up. I'm positive they're getting this draft wrong. I mean, look, there's a reason the same teams draft in the top five every single year because they have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
So they're going to make mistakes. We can't treat this draft process like the teams know what they're doing. But I do think that teams look at Shador and be like, you know what? There's too many red flags, mostly because of his dad.
Yeah. I mean, that's, again, it's the lens you're looking at. He's never played for anyone but his dad. So, but why do we assume it's a negative? You know, maybe he wants to play for someone.
Well, why? Because there's risk there. Because you don't know how he'll respond to another coach. That, so by definition, that risk would be a negative.
I guess 888-710-4ISN. Andrew Bogish, back from vacation, fresh off the plane. How you feeling? You're a warrior here for pushing through.
Yeah, I don't do many tough things. This was tough and dumb. landing at
grit.
Like,
this is grit.
Yeah, landing at like 6 o'clock yesterday, New York time. Waking back up at 3:30 today was not smart. And for some reason,
T's and P's.
JFK or EWR?
JFK. And landing here in New York, not specific to this flight, but landing in New York destroys my ears. Like, we took off, landed. Didn't feel a thing. Did the usual, like, yawn, blow your nose thing, ears pop.
Oh, equalizing your...
Landing at JFK wrecks me. Like, I was in such... I was half deaf last night. Mm. It was awful.
My left ear
doesn't clear it.
Basically, Bogues, you're a Navy SEAL to tough that out. I can't believe you were in the plane. Right? You didn't parachute down, right?
No, we didn't.
And this was physically challenging for you to land at JFK Airport.
Legitimate pain.
God, like, you're softer wincing than me. Yeah. This is unbelievable.
But it's all the time now. I don't know what is specific to the way they get to the ground at JFK here. I don't know what it is, but going fine. Coming back, it's awful.
And you don't have this experience at LaGuardia.
I couldn't. I don't. I live 15 seconds from JFK, so I haven't gone to LaGuardia in years.
Too big for LaGuardia.
You gotta do like this is like a parenting thing. Do you ever do this when your kids are on a flight? Like I'm more concerned about my kids' ears on a flight than I am whether the flight makes it or not.
Yeah.
And I've got, you know, juice and lollipops and all the stuff to just try to make sure his ears don't.
My wife, too.
I'm definitely going on a family vacation now. You got lollipops?
Manny. I'm like Willy Wonka. Yeah. I got stuff I'm just bringing at anything.
What, a four-year-old's ears are about to pop, they think their head is exploding, and they go into panic mode.
Yeah.
And apparently, Bogus just does the same thing.
But everyone in my family had the same problem on the plane. Like, my Jake was next to me, and he's, like, tapping me and trying to talk. I'm like, dude, I can't hear you. You can't hear me. But we land, and they're all fine, and I'm walking to the terminal, and they're talking to me, and I can't hear them.
When did your ears finally pop?
My left one still is not right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is there, like, a internet remedy for this?
I mean, the one that you're...
Yeah, it's
you're
called, like, Man Up.
I mean, I am here. I did do that.
Put some icy hot on it, man up.
I'm loving this.
Type it into WebMD. It's like, how do I get a popped ear? It's sack up.
I mean, the way that you, like, think they can't officially recommend is, like, you hold your nose and, like, blow your nose.
Yeah. You haven't done that?
But I have. It doesn't work. And it's also, at some point, it becomes dangerous.
You blow your eardrum.
Yeah. So you can't do it forever.
Are any family members deal with this? Like, is this a hereditary issue?
Not to this extent. I don't know if I have a problem. Like, if there's something else I should check out, if I got an eardrum issue or something. But it was enough that I had to, like, ask my family, like, to leave me alone for a few minutes last night in the house, like, just to sit down and be like, my head's throbbing, my left ear is completely closed. Like, I just need 5 seconds to, like, decompress before I'm unpacking things, turning the house back on. Like, just give me a second.
Can I pose another theory?
Yeah.
That Andrew Bogish decided to drink 17 mojitos before he left Punta Cana?
No. No, that was not it at all. No, I didn't eat a spicy pepper, but the last night of the trip wasn't good for the stomach either. The last 36 hours.
God, dude. Did you have fun at all? Did you enjoy it?
Ton of fun.
You've been on air for 5 minutes and all you've done is be and moan.
The first 4.5 days were great. The last, like, 36 hours have been a little bit annoying.
Is there a chance you actually ruptured your eardrum?
No, this is consistent, though. This happens on all the last, like, a little bit. Like, so maybe something is wrong with my ear, but it also, I didn't feel like this landing in the Dominican Republic. It was, it's just, it's the worst coming back here, as if there's, like, a different descent.
Yeah.
That it's, like, harsher, it's quicker, and, like, that's why it messes with me. But it was a lot.
All of the years of audio just coming blaring into your ears has finally caught up with you.
And I'm going to be deaf for that, too. So, I mean, this could all be the same problem wrapped together.
Well, we're all going deaf. But
what'd you say?
Yeah, in this industry. Perloff, you've got a foot guy, world-renowned foot doctor. You got an ear, nose, and throat guy.
Yes, I do have an ear, nose, and throat guy.
You've got an allergist. Like, you're the man to go to for doctors.
Yeah,
you also have the most trusted mechanic in Brooklyn, which is not a true thing.
I know.
That's exactly what he wants you to believe.
That's the nicest guy in prison.
I don't have an ear guy.
Okay.
But you don't have an ear guy.
The thing is, this is just Andrew Bogish being crazy, because I've landed at JFK 1,000 times and never had this issue.
Oh, that's
neither have any of us. Has anyone else here ever had
negative ghostwriter?
No.
My issue with JFK is it takes longer to get to JFK than the actual flight.
Yep.
Like, you sit there, oh, I'm flying out of JFK. Well, I'm going to have to leave 7.5 hours early. You might as well just drive to Cleveland. It's faster than getting to JFK.
And now they're doing, like, massive construction there, so it's even more.
The JetBlue terminal, I don't like to complain just in case they're ever going to sponsor us, but JetBlue's terminal JFK is an absurdity.
Oh, wow.
JetBlue wouldn't let me book my flight last night.
Why?
Where are you going?
I have no idea. I'm going to Mexico.
Oh, hey.
I'm just trying to book my flight, and it just said loading. Don't turn off this page.
Cargando.
And I left this morning. It was still loading.
Are the Mets playing in Mexico? What's going on in Mexico?
people take vacations there, bro.
Why? Don't you follow the Mets around for most of your international vacations?
That was only one time.
Is WrestleMania in Mexico City?
No WrestleMania.
That'd be cool, though.
That would be amazing.
It just doesn't seem like
Marvel convention.
Yeah.
No.
It doesn't seem like you to create this nice vacation for your fiance without some sort of sports type. To be totally honest.
This was Andrea push. So
obviously.
There it is.
Obviously.
Yeah. Folks, hang with us, will you?
We're going to catch a Mexican soccer team out there.
Yeah, the Jets are playing in Germany in November. Let's go there, honey.
And maybe I'll get engaged while I'm there, too.
Second engagement.
I was gonna say it, but I'm like, man, he's got it loaded up. We're gonna talk about, I'm assuming, Jimmy Butler's big injury from yesterday, which Perloff is already calling him out for. He had to leave the game yesterday.
He's softer than Andrew Bogish.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
All right, we're gonna get to that in just a moment. What happened to Jimmy, playoff Jimmy, last night? Sit tight.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drop deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh, new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back. Apparently, Andrew Bogus' vacation, very eventful.
What a lot going on.
Mostly the flight. what do you do? You want to put this one on air or no?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is going down there. We moved seats. Everybody, there was an empty seat.
Yeah, yada, next, yada, yada. You ended
my
up
daughter.
Next to.
So we all moved left, my family, so that a couple and their baby could be reunited. They were separate. So first of all, I go, we were being nice, but I was like, did I just sign up for a crying baby next to me for a 3.5 hour flight? Whatever. Kid was quiet because as I turned to my right once, he was being breastfed. So now
I'm sitting there. Were you a coach?
We were, yeah, of course.
Of course.
So now we're sitting there. I'm sitting there in a robe of myself with two strangers. And I couldn't, the whole right side of my body was off limits. Because I did not want to accidentally turn and just accidentally linger too long. So I was like, can't look right, can't look right until I saw the kid sit up and move around. Like, okay, now I have freedom of movement
would
again.
Would stare like Zach Galifianakis in that scene in The Hangover.
You stare at women who are breastfeeding?
Oh, yeah, big
you
time.
You creep.
Yeah.
That is.
I do not know.
But now he's going to start.
Yeah, now you planted a seed in my mind.
Now Mandy can't look away. All right, let's get to some headlines. Mouth Happy draft, too. Everyone. But Jimmy Butler not doing so hot
yes,
this morning.
Headline sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, RVs, and maybe pelvic contusions. For protection on the road and on the water, see how much you could save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
A platypus.
Here is why, apparently, Jimmy Butler III is not that tough, according to Perloff and Perloff only.
Thompson drives on Draymond, shoots over him. No good. Butler has undercut Butler as he fell down on the play, and Butler's hurt. Oh, Butler is hurt. He's down on the floor. Thompson face down on the floor. Butler took a horrendous fall. And you could hear the crowd gasp on that.
Tim Roy, Warriors Radio. Butler accidentally undercut while up in the air for a rebound late in the first quarter. He did not return. Gets an MRI back in San Francisco. Here's head coach Steve Kerr.
If Jimmy's out, we have to rethink, everything, like rotations and who starts and the best combinations and all that stuff.
Perloff, do you want to explain why Jimmy is soft?
Well, when you hear the word, you said the injury, sorry.
Yes.
You hear the word contusion, that means, they're load managing. So he fell on either his pelvis or his tailbone, right?
Sure.
Which is the worst. It hurts.
Yeah.
But I always thought any kind of bruise for the playoffs, you can fight through. Any kind of... There's no ligament damage, as far as I know, not yet. If something like that is happening, but it just seems like a very severe bruise. So I usually players fight through that. I mean, this was a long fall, I understand. But, I assumed it was like you guys have all fallen on your tailbone, right?
Yeah,
it sucks.
The worst.
But if I'm an NBA athlete, I'm going to fight through that and get out there, maybe put a little shot in there, loosen everything up. Let's go, Jimmy.
I imagine he's probably going to play, but
knowing Jimmy Butler, yeah.
Yeah, but he's also like an older player, and the series is tied 1-1 and you're going home. Now, let's not forget, Brandon Podziemski also was dealing with an illness in this game, so he was getting IVs at halftime. He was out there, but he was clearly not himself. And, maybe they think they could hold the fort even if he misses game three, but Jimmy is such a huge part of the scoring. Like, let's not forget, the Warriors were under 500 before he got there, and in these really impressive games, the play-in game against Memphis, game one against Houston, I mean, Jimmy had 38 points and 25 points. Like, he's a huge part of the scoring load.
Yeah, and I think Podziemski had an issue when his flight landed and his ear was messed up because he looked like he should not
have
been out
there. And he ate whatever I ate on Tuesday.
I breastfeeding in the front row and just distracting him.
Yeah. I found it uncomfortable looking at him last night. He looked so sick, whatever that was.
Warriors, by the way, still a slight favorite in the
series. Yeah, because, I mean, they're going home. So I think, and Houston's not great. Can we just say this what it is? That is the right matchup for this banged up Golden State team. They're just not consistent offensively. I mean, all those guys are very talented, but they could easily pull a 2-for-18 on any given night. That's all I'm saying. EJ, you were ooing me on that.
Yeah, I mean they're not great. They are great defensively, and they can guard these guys, which is a problem. So Jimmy Butler better be fine, because the game one, he was basically half the offense. I mean, the Warriors scored 94 points in game two, and they won the last game scoring, 95?
95. Yeah. And he had 25 of the 95.
Right, so the Warriors are not showing they can really score on these guys. So
it's a wrestling match from the moment. It's bizarre how they're all fighting and wrestling the whole game.
They're bigger, they're stronger, they're more athletic. Like, that's why I still wouldn't rule them out in this series.
Yeah, but the Warriors handled that pretty easily in game one, though.
They only scored 95 points. They didn't handle it easily.
No, but they held the Rockets at 85.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying, though. The offense may be a problem, but they're always going to be in these games, I think, because it doesn't look like the Warriors can run away from them.
Folks, we got time for another?
Well, 109-94, by the way, the final last night. Jalen Green had 38 points for Houston. The Cavs held off the Heat, 121-112 for a 2-0 series lead, and the Celtics topped the Magic, 109-100. No Jason Tatum, thanks to that bruised wrist. Boston leads that series 2-0 in playoff hockey. The Kings stumped the Oilers, 6-2. Caps held off the Canadiens, 3-1. Those are 2-0 series. The Stars took a 2-1 lead on the Avalanche with a 2-1 win in OT in Colorado. Now I'm done.
Good to have you back, man. Sorry it was such a harrowing last 24 hours or so.
Yeah, I survived, I think. We'll see.
Harrowing seems like a strong word.
And I got another thing, too.
All right.
Well, spit it out.
How much stuff happened on this trip?
A lot. So we had the breastfeeding baby next to me on the way down. Yesterday, we left an hour late because as we were about to pull away from the gate, they get on the phone and go, is there a doctor or a nurse on the plane?
Worst.
What I don't understand is the door was still open. We were still at the gate. I don't know why they don't get actual people from the airport. And so they made this lady, Mike, thankfully, volunteer. Somebody was having some kind of issue in first class and eventually got off the plane. But then we had to climb in the back and dig their luggage out. So we left like over an hour late yesterday.
When they say, is there a doctor on the plane? I'm just like, well, and that's
for my ear?
Some ladies like basically have a heart attack in the front.
But it was like, I'm sorry. I know we landed, but I need a doctor right now.
Does anyone have any gum?
That's better. I'd rather have a doc. Is there a doctor on here? We were having a mechanical issue. <That's not hard. laughs> Why are you telling me that?
Which team has the most to gain in this draft?
We'll you say you are next. Women who are breastfeeding?
Oh, yeah, big
you
time.
Creep.